6:30 at the Salvage Works.
2024 North Argyle.
Where you can hear more from Fisher Poets or this weekend at the Fisher Poets Gathering. If Judy, if you want to pick some music, or we don't really have a music thing to go out with.
Poem. What? Yeah, she can go out with a poem or something.
Okay, just whatever. It's your choice, Judy, for serenading us out. Thank you, Judy.
Scales in oh, she's going to do slime on my clothes. Smell of fish follows wherever I go. My friends told me as how to get rich quick. All I'm getting so far is seasick. Here I am out on the herring ground, searching for silver.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 39th Annual Portland International Film Festival hosted by the Northwest Film Center. 97 feature films and 62 short films from all over the world will be playing through February 27th, all over Portland. There are also special focus programs, including Global Classroom, a Made in Oregon shorts program, PIFF, After Dark, again. That's the 39th Annual Portland International Film Festival, screening films at multiple locations throughout Portland until February 27th. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is a...
This week on Religion for Life, I continue my conversation with Dr. Paul Kalmonik. We're talking about the Islamic State organization and Al-Qaeda and strategies to defeat them.
What we require is strategic patience and really pinpoint a careful targeting of terrorist actors and disassociating them from Islam.
Find weekly podcasts on kboo.fm/religionforlife.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, and at 10:15, Flashpoints features excerpts from the documentary Capitalism, followed at 11 by Recovery Zone host Stephanie Potter asked a panel of guests from local climate groups, what does it take to motivate us to bridge the gap between knowing and acting? And coming up next now is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, February 24th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Our guest today is Matt Stannard. He is the Public Banking Institute. He's joining us today with a critical update on where the push to establish public banking across the country. It, of course, the stellar example of public banking working very well for people is North Dakota. The public bank there is a Republican-owned bank. Pretty much not all of North Dakota is Republican owned. This is where the private sector politics merge almost entirely, because GOP's notion of governance in the public sector is you buy everything, you privatize everything, so that GOP essentially is the party of private ownership, and it can easily cut out the very people who voted it into power in the first place. I want to just return and revisit one of the topics that we were talking about this week, because tomorrow we'll be having Michael Paul Hill on to talk more about the Pope's visit and its flagrant insult to Indigenous people, the Pope ignoring entirely the genocide, and also trampling across sacred lands of the Apache. The Indigenous decolonization and United Nations membership, indigenous people and fundamental rights to self-determination. This is a thesis providing legal arguments for the inclusion of indigenous and tribal peoples as members of the United Nations, equal to states, but not actually required to form states. This is through an equality and dignity-based examination of United Nations decolonization. That's what the topic we're going to talk about tomorrow, and I think that it does, bearing that idea in mind, is a great way to dive into the day's river of financial bloodshed. The Port of Longview commissioners have ended talks with the Texas-based developer of the $800 million oil refinery and propane terminal in Longview. That is a huge story, and we it bears looking at carefully. We want to know exactly how ended the talks are. There's plenty of talks, and they all have ends. Those ends, the end zone seems to move as the game goes on. A proposal to uphold last year's decision to remove the gray wolf from the state's endangered species list has cleared one of its last major hurdles at the Oregon legislature. Once the large predators are gone, we'll find out just exactly what that does to human society, life on Earth. This planet is moving rapidly to a monospecies world, where there are no species except humans. Of course, we'll always have rats, so don't be too broken up over the idea of a monospecies. There'll be plenty of rats. The FBI personnel said they've completed the evidence collection at Malheur, and what they make of it, that'll take a little bit longer to analyze, but it'll be moving along a pace with the trials of the Bundys and the rest of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, not to mention the Pacific Patriots, Agenda 21, a truly scary group, and more. And the Oregon agency that licenses police officers has asked the Attorney General's office to investigate complaints about Grant County Sheriff Glenn Palmer. Why? I'm glad you asked. Palmer met with some of the armed occupiers, and the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training would like to know a little bit more about what that conversation consisted of. And here comes the dark Monsanto's dream bill was just introduced in the Senate. It's a bill that is designed to prohibit state labeling of genetically engineered food, despite over 90% of the American people want food to be labeled. And Greenpeace, huge thing today, Greenpeace activists in Brussels blocked EU and US negotiators from holding secret talks for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. There's another conversation that I'd be very interested in having a look at. We've just been able to breeze through a few of the headlines, and now I want to greet Our guest today, Matt Sternert, with the Public Banking Institute, back again on the KBOO Airways. Matt, thank you so much for being with us today.
Chris, it's great to be back. Thank you very much for having me. I wanted to clarify, in terms of the Bank of North Dakota, just that it's a Republican state. It's a state that is dominated by a Republican legislature. But nevertheless, they believe the BND, the Bank of North Dakota, is fiscally responsible because it allows them to pay for public services much cheaper than the rest of the country does. And we'll, of course, talk about the reason why that's the case. But it's one of those situations where if you frame the message in a certain way, then fiscal conservatives would totally be on board with public banks because they save tons of money and they lower taxes.
Yeah, and of course, it's all in the way these ideas are proposed. It's all in the language used. And it's why I think that we're seeing this strange, this strange and horrible rise of Donald Trump. But public banking, the North Dakota example has been established for a long time now, and so that's
100 years.
It seems, yeah, and counting. It seems that with that right in front of our noses, that it wouldn't be in more places. Why is that? What stops it? I mean, certainly North Dakota is extremely Republican, is Republican and controlled, is virtually owned by the GOP. So what stops other states from adopting public banking since it's such a success there?
Well, and we're actually really excited. In a moment, I want to talk to you, but tell you why I'm excited about some things happening in Portland, actually, and in Oregon right now. But we're excited about other states and cities that are making the effort. They've got ordinances. They've got feasibility studies. There's legislation pending to at least establish task force and explore it. But what happens is a lot of times when these local movements get really close to establishing a public bank, Wall Street sends in its attack dogs, and, you know, politicians and public officials tend to be really risk-averse, and so they've got all these Wall Street people screaming in their ears, and they look over on the other side and see that the people want public banks, but they don't always know what to do because everyone's screaming at them, and they can't, you know, always work out. You know, so we keep making the case. And the way that we are making the case right now, and what I hope that your listeners will do, is go to whatwallstreetcosts.org, whatwallstreetcosts.org. And if you go to whatwallstreetcosts.org, that will take you to the page of the new Public Banking Institute project, What Wall Street Costs America, and you will learn not only about the hundreds of billions of dollars that cities and states pay to Wall Street in hidden fees and interest rates and in basically gambling money for the big fat cats on Wall Street, you will also learn about the effect that has on cities, including cities like Ferguson, Missouri.
Well, hang on a minute. Does that work? How does that work? How is it that Wall Street is able to... cash in to the degree that it has. I mean, it would seem that this must be done very carefully, I would think. And because people
very surreptitiously and in ways that are often confusing, not only to public officials, but certainly to citizens. And what happened is, and I think most of your listeners remember that, or at least have been told that, a couple of decades ago, we started seeing this real revolt in this country against paying taxes on things. And so one of the ways in which cities and states said, well, we'll start funding our public projects is through borrowing money from Wall Street. And the other way is that that Wall Street banks tend to lobby for the right to manage municipal money and manage state money in the first place. And so all of that comes at the cost of these horrendous fees. And Saqib Bhatti over at the Roosevelt Institute says, cities and states across the country are forced to cut essential community services because they are trapped in predatory municipal finance deals that cost them millions of dollars every year. And that's from a report that Saqib Bhatti authored entitled Dirty Deals, How Wall Street's Predatory Deals Hurt Taxpayers and What We Can Do About It.
Matt, hang on one minute.
Is public banks.
Before we let you go, you mentioned Oregon. What specifically is going on in Oregon? We just have about 30 seconds.
Really excited that your city council's socially responsible investment committee made the recommendation to divest from Wells Fargo because of Wells Fargo's complicity in the private prison industry. And also excited that we have Public Banking Institute activists like Walt McCree and others in Portland right now meeting with your city officials and talking to the public there about public banks. There's a great public banking movement in the state of Oregon.
Thank you so much, Matt. And just one more time before we let you go, the website, how can people find out more?
Please visit whatwallstreetcosts.org. Sign up, make a donation, give us your support, and be part of the project. We need your voices to paint this picture of what Wall Street's doing to America.
Thank you so much. So great to have you back, and we're going to revisit this idea again in the very near future. This has been Nick S. Kate.
Anytime, Chris. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Wonderful to have you back on the Cable Airways. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. Judy Fussell engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Judy. Kathleen Stevenson is, of course, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thank